In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation at the beginning of this new week. I pray that God would bless all of you in a very, very special way on this Sunday, in which we always celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. So we'd like to start off our day, our week, by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. Also, when we pray the Hail Holy Queen, we invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's invite Mary to be with us, to walk with us, to encourage us, to strengthen us by her presence as we say the prayer that she loves most. And that's the Hail Mary, together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's invite our spiritual director to be with us. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has many different titles. Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. Holy Spirit is also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is known as the Sweet Guest of Our Souls. Holy Spirit is also known as our counselor. Our counselor as well as our consoler. Holy Spirit is also known as our sanctifier. We want to grow in holiness. Then the Holy Spirit, He's the one that sanctifies us. Holy Spirit is also known as the interior master. St. Paul says in his letter to the Romans, chapter 8, that we don't know to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans. So we can say Abba. Abba, which means Daddy or Father. Abba, meaning Daddy or Father. So let's beg the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light in our intellect and the fire of divine love to burn within the depths of our souls. As we pray, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in His consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen. Well, Lady Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Matthias, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. Saint John Bosco, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So my friends, to give you encouragement, I promise that I will pray for you today. In the greatest of all prayers, I'll pray for you in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. I'd like to place all of you on the altar. In the greatest of all prayers, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. There's no prayer in the whole world more powerful than the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. It is the prayer par excellence, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. So I'd like to place you on the altar with these following intentions. First, I'd like to pray for all of us as we draw closer and closer to Pentecost, that we would have a greater openness to the Holy Spirit. We'd be more docile to the workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And perhaps this can be our prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My next intention will be, I'd like to pray for our families, for the conversion of our family, all the family members, especially those who are far away from God, for their conversion, sanctification, and salvation. As Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? For our conversion, sanctification, and salvation. And then I'd like to pray, as always, I'd like to pray for the conversion of, I'd like to pray for the dying. That those who are dying, that they will be saved. Let's pray in a special way for those who are dying that are not well, that are not prepared to die. That they would open their hearts to God's mercy and be saved. Until our dying breath, there is hope. So our prayers can be the means by which these many people that will die today, they'll open up their hearts to God and they will be saved. Nothing more important in our lives than to make it to heaven. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and he loses his soul? What does it profit a man? Gaining the whole world and in the process losing his immortal soul. That'll be our intention. So, Mary, my friends, in this month of May. I'm giving a brief Marian reflection at the beginning of our talk. I've already mentioned reading a couple of books on Mary. I mentioned last week the book of St. Alfonso Maria Liguori. His book is The Glories of Mary, which is a Marian spiritual classic. Then he also mentioned the book written by St. Louis de Montfort, True Devotion to Mary. So I'd like to mention another book today, and this one, hopefully you're familiar with it, and this is the book I'd like to suggest, and it's this book. Maybe you've seen this book before. It was written by yours truly, Total Consecration, Total Consecration Through the Mysteries of the Rosary, Meditations to Prepare for Total Consecration to Jesus Through Mary, by yours truly. If you have already read this book, praise the Lord. But if not, you can take this book, and it's a means by which you can consecrate yourself to Jesus through Mary, but most specifically through the 20 Mysteries of the Rosary, as well as through the Seven Sorrows of Mary. One of our friends on Facebook, Irene Copioso, has already done several consecrations of her friends to Jesus through Mary, utilizing my book. And also, of course, today is Mother's Day in the United States. That's why I'd like to make a connection between Mary as her mother. Many of you are mothers, so we'll be praying for all mothers throughout the world, but we'll also try to honor Mary, because Mary is truly the mother of God. Mary is the mother of the church. And Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. That's right, she's the mother of God, the mother of the church, and she's the mother of each and every one of us. So happy Mother's Day to all of you, and of course, in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, I'll place you on the altar, place you in the hands of Mary. No better place to be. So my friends, today is a day very rich in the readings in the Mass. I'd like to make one more comment before getting into the readings today. Today would be the feast day of St. Matthias. Who is St. Matthias? Is when Judas Iscariot ended his life by hanging himself. The apostles came together to choose someone to replace Judas Iscariot. After praying to the Holy Spirit, they chose a man whose name is Matthias. So we'll honor in a special way the apostle that replaced Judas. His name is Saint Matthias, we celebrate his feast day every year today, which is May 14th. Okay, so the readings today on Sunday. The readings today on Sunday are very rich, of course. We have the Acts of the Apostles. Then we have Psalm 66, let all the earth cry out to God with joy. Then we have the first letter of St. Peter. Jesus was put to death in the flesh, but raised to life in the spirit. Then we have the Gospel of St. John, where Jesus says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate. So there's our spiritual menu for today. So I'd like to just follow the method that I've been using for you in our Perseverance Family Conversation. And it's this. It's to memorize the essence of the text we're going to comment. Then the interpretation of the text. And then finally, after the interpretation of the text, the application. So the biblical text, the interpretation of the text, and the practical application. That's our method, the method that we follow. So, off we go. In these 50 days in the Easter season, leading up to Pentecost, which will be in 2 weeks from today, the first reading we've been reading has been from the Acts of the Apostles. And I'm giving a course in the Acts of the Apostles today, tomorrow, and Thursday. So reading through the 28 chapters of the Acts of the Apostles attributed to St. Luke. So today we have a passage from Acts chapter 8. In this, we encounter Philip. This is not Philip the apostle, but Philip the deacon. Philip the deacon. Philip is motivated by God to go down to Samaria to proclaim Christ to them. In this we see Philip really open to the Holy Spirit, open to God's grace. Let's pray that we would be truly open to the Holy Spirit, open to God's grace as we draw closer to Pentecost. So Philip proclaims, he proclaims Christ. Let us pray for the grace that we would be missionaries, that we will be able to proclaim Christ. To proclaim Christ. By our words, but also by our actions. His preaching was so powerful that the huge crowds paid attention to what Philip had to say. So he's preaching to huge crowds. Now it's interesting that he's preaching in Samaria. I say that because, as a whole, the Jews did not get along well with the Samaritans. But Philip was sent there. He was sent there. And the people were open to his preaching. And they saw signs he was doing. So he was casting out unclean spirits. And he was healing the paralyzed, the crippled, and many of the sick. So here's a point I'd like to underline, is that he was casting out the bad spirits. Lately there's been brought to our attention the evil spirit. A couple weeks ago there was a satanic conference in the city of Boston. Right now there's a movie out called Nefarious. There's been mention often of Father Gabriel Damorth, who is the chief exorcist of Rome. So I'd like to make a brief comment on the presence of the evil spirit related to the reading today, which Philip was casting out these unclean spirits. And it's this. And it's this. That our, my friends, our spiritual life, is a constant battle. St. Ignatius presents the meditation on the two standards, the standard of Christ and the standard of Satan. The two standards. The two standards. So I'd like to mention in this conversation with you, one of the portals or openings to the enemy. And it's the following. When we find ourselves in a state of desolation, which is a lack of faith, a lack of hope, a lack of love, we feel discouraged, we feel disheartened, we feel sad, we feel depressed, few people don't understand us, our life doesn't seem to have any meaning. Let's call it a state of desolation. When we find ourselves in this state of desolation, that's when the devil will attack us. So just take that for granted. St. Ignatius says, do not make any changes in your spiritual program. Then Rule 6, St. Ignatius gives us what is called the agite contra, to go against the desolation. In going against the desolation, St. Ignatius offers us four different practices. He says, when we're in desolation, never give up prayer. And he says, meditation. Be faithful to our holy hour. And he says, apply yourself to some suitable penance, to some type of self-denial. Then examine your conscience. All right. Then, once the apostles are aware of the work of God carrying out by the deacon Philip, Peter and John go down to Samaria. And they pray over the people because they had not received as of yet the Holy Spirit. And they impose their hands on these people. Here we have a clear indication of the sacrament of confirmation. Philip was a deacon. Peter and John, not only were they priests, but they were bishops. So how was the sacrament of confirmation conferred? By praying and the imposition of hands. So let us renew our own commitment to God and our own confirmation. When the bishop confirms us, he says, now we're called to defend our faith and to spread our faith. That's right. We're called to defend our faith and we're called to spread our faith. So that's the first reading. The responsorial psalm is, let all the earth cry out to God with joy. Yesterday I had my men's group, the group of San Jose, and I was commenting on Philippians chapter 4 last night. I spent an hour talking about Philippians chapter 4, about five verses. And it starts out with Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice in the Lord. My friends, in this Easter season, we're called to experience the joy of the Holy Spirit. Joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And one of the most evident signs that we are followers of Christ is radiating joy through a smile. You know, sadness is contagious, but also joy is contagious. They both are. Sadness is contagious, but also joy is contagious. Sadness is contagious, but also joy is contagious. Let's move to the second reading. We have the first letter of St. Peter. He says, beloved, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. And he says something I'd like to comment upon with you. Always, always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope. So what St. Peter is saying is this. In the world in which we live, I'll try to give a modern application. The world in which we live in a world with so much information. We've never had such easy access to information as through the internet. As through the internet. Never had such easy access to information as through the internet. But we've never lived in a world, my friends, with so much confusion as today. So we're called to be ready to give an explanation of our faith to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope. Now what this means, my friends, is we are called to work on what is called our permanent formation. Not only do we have our faith, but we're called to keep studying our faith. So I'd like to mention to you a tool that we can utilize to study our faith. Of course, first we want to get to know the riches of the Bible, the Word of God. On a daily basis, we should be reading and meditating upon the Bible, which is the Word of God. So much so that Saint Jerome, who translated the Bible from the Aramaic and Greek into the Latin, Saint Jerome goes on to say, ignorance of sacred scripture is ignorance of Christ. So I'd like to invite all of you to get to know your faith by going through the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Another way in which we can get to know the Catechism of the Catholic Church is by having access to the Didache Bible. What is the Didache Bible? What is the Didache Bible? Here we have for you the Didache Bible. I also have it in Spanish. But here's the Didache Bible. This is very important, the Didache Bible, because it's the Ignatius Bible edition. Ignatius Bible is a good translation. But also, this Didache Bible will help us to know our faith, so anyone asks about our faith, we'll be able to give them a reason for our hope. And the way this Bible is put together is, you have the Bible text on the top. The Bible text on the top. But then, you have a commentary on the Bible below. But the commentary, my friends, is taken from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So if you look closely, it says the Didache Bible with the commentaries based on the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So, of all the works of John Paul II, St. John Paul II, all of his works, all the works of John Paul II, and he wrote many encyclicals, apostolic letters, conferences, many. I'd have to say that the greatest work of John Paul II was his composition of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which came out in the early 90s. So let's get to know our Catholic faith better and better by studying it. And then John Paul II also says this. One of the best ways for us to grow in our faith is to share our faith with others. That's right. One of the best ways for us to grow in our faith is to share our faith with others. As St. Francis says, in giving we receive. And one other thing that he says in the reading of St. Peter is, but preach with gentleness and reverence. So, my friends, with gentleness and reverence. So, it's not only the content or the material that we're trying to transmit, but also our manner, the style, the approach. We don't want to come on caustic or cutting or sarcastic or mean. No, that's counterproductive. We want to come on, he says, with gentleness and reverence. With gentleness and reverence. Then he says also, keeping your conscience clear. My friends, one of the greatest sufferings in the world would be to be living with a guilty conscience. I think many people are suffering, they're angry, they're bitter because they're living with a guilty conscience. And one of the ways in which we can have a clear conscience is by the practice of frequent confession. That's true. By the practice of frequent, well-prepared confessions, then we're able to live constantly with a clear conscience, So that's my message I'd like to just convey to you from the first letter of Peter, that we are called to know our faith, we're called to defend our faith and spread our faith. Whoever asks us about our faith, we are called to give him a reason for the hope that's within us. Then from this, we move, my friends, to the gospel of the day. Now, here's the big question. Here's the $100 question of the day. How can we know that we love God? How can we know that we love God? And Jesus says it very clearly. Jesus says, if you love me, then keep my commandments. So love for God does not depend so much on feelings and emotions and sentiments. That's secondary. But rather, an authentic love for God is by getting to know the commandments of God, understand the commandments of God, and to put the commandments of God into practice. Jesus says in another passage in Matthew chapter 7, Not all those who say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. Not all those who say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but those who do the will of my Heavenly Father. So the commandments. The Ten Commandments. They're not suggestions, but they're commandments. That being the case, can you say, Beatrice Sanchez has said, Father, have you given any thought to doing a course on the commandments? That's a very, very, very good question, and I will definitely consider it. I'll definitely consider it. I'll present to you a new course, that I'll be presenting in the month of June, but giving a course on the Ten Commandments, I love the idea, and I probably will do that. That's a great idea. It's a great idea. Going through the Ten Commandments. Great idea. The Ten Commandments, my friends, we know that Moses went up on the top of the mountain, and he spent 40 days and 40 nights in prayer and fasting. Then God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. Two tablets. The first tablets refer to a relationship with God, and the last tablets refer to a relationship with others and ourselves. It can be compared to the cross. It can be compared to the cross. You have the vertical, you have the horizontal. The first three commandments refer to our relationship with God, and the last seven refer to our relationship with others and ourselves. Now, even among practicing Catholics, many do not know the Ten Commandments. That's why we have in our parish, actually on my confessional door, we have a rack that has the Ten Commandments. It has the Ten Commandments with a pamphlet that explains each one of the Ten Commandments. Well, that's a great idea to go through the Ten Commandments. And one way in which I'm trying to explain the Ten Commandments now is a little bit different way. Because when you hear the Ten Commandments, most of you think, well, these are the way in which we break the commandments. But have you ever considered, well, what is the way in which we can obey the commandments? There's a way in which we break the commandment, but also there's a way in which we can observe the commandments. So I'll give you an example of this. Let's just take the first commandment. So if you're just tuning in now, what I'm doing, I'm explaining the gospel reading where Jesus says to his disciples, that means to us, if you love me, then you will keep my commandments. So I'm explaining these words of Jesus Christ from the gospel today. If you love me, keep my commandments. So let's take the first commandment. Now the first commandment, my friends, is the most important of the Ten Commandments. And the first commandment lays the foundation for the other nine commandments. That is, I am the Lord your God, you shall not have other gods besides me. So I'll give you just one way in which you can observe it and the other way in which you can break this commandment. One way in which you can observe it, another way in which you can break this commandment. One way in which you can observe the first commandment is by as we said earlier, referring to the letter of St. Peter, by studying your Catholic faith. And I mentioned study your Catholic faith by getting to know not only the Bible, but also getting to know the Catechism of the Catholic Church. What I'm doing on a personal level is this whole year, when I end my day at night and I come back to my room, I'm listening to the Catechism of the Catholic Church read and explained by Father Mike Schmitz. Now, I've already gone through the Catechism, but I want to go through it again. So I'm trying to show my love for God by getting to know the Catechism of the Catholic Church all the more. So the more I can get to know my Catholic faith, the more I can transmit this knowledge of my Catholic faith to you people. And to my homily to hundreds of people at the 10 o'clock Mass today. Or my course on the Holy, on the Acts of the Apostles. The more, you can't give what you don't have. The more that you receive from the Lord, the more you absorb about God, the more you're going to be able to give to others. So, my friends, that's a concrete way in which we can actually put into practice, observe the commandments. Perhaps some of you have read the Catechism of the Catholic Church, but maybe you don't remember it. Maybe you don't remember it. So study, learn your Catholic faith. And then as Peter says, we should all be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for our hope. And it said earlier, quoting John Paul II says that one of the best ways for us to grow in our faith is to share our faith with others. So I challenge all of you, as we're going through the commandments, and we're going through the first commandment today, where, with whom, and how are you going to share your faith with someone? Pray for that grace today, so that you grow in your faith. So you can grow in your faith. Who is the person or persons that God is calling you right now to share your faith with? And as St. Paul says, faith comes through hearing. Woe to me if I do not preach the good news. So we observe the first commandment by studying to get to know our faith. We really cannot give what we do not know. You can't give what you don't know. Now, way in which the first commandment is broken is the first commandment is, I am the Lord your God, you shall not have other gods besides me. In the time of Moses, when he came down from the mountain with Aaron, they were worshiping a golden calf. Moses was infuriated. He broke the commandments and he destroyed the golden calf. Now, probably if I were to go to your home, to bless your home, I don't think that I would see a golden calf on your table or a hearth on your table. Even though I've gone into Catholic homes and sometimes I've seen a statue of Buddha in Catholic homes. People say, well, that was given to me as a gift. I really don't think that you should have a statue of Buddha, but rather you should have a... Remember visiting once a house, it was right around Christmas. It was a Catholic family. And they, on their hearth, they had this big, majestic statue of Buddha. And then there was a shiny, big, attractive statue of Santa Claus. Then in the corner, there was a statue, a small, kind of dirty statue of the Sacred Heart of Jesus with his broken hand. That really said a lot to me. How many of us, perhaps, have modern idols in their homes? And the nature, my friends, of an idol, we're talking about the first commandment. The nature of the idol is when, simply this, a definition of idolatry. Idolatry. An idol is whenever we place we place any person, place, thing, object, or idea above God. That's right. Whenever we place any person, place, thing, or object above God, then that's the nature of really what idolatry is that we're not placing God number one. We're not placing God in the center of our lives. So Jesus says in the Gospel that he will not leave us orphans. But Jesus will send us the Advocate. So my friends, on this wonderful day, Mother's Day, as we draw closer to the ascension of our Lord into heaven, and we draw closer to Pentecost, let's pray for the grace pray for the grace to love God. Let's pray for the grace to love God with all of our hearts, mind, soul, and strength. And let's pray that we would love our neighbor as ourselves. And I'd like to give all of you, especially the mothers, special blessings. In honor of Mary, because Mother's Day is also Mary's Day, in honor of Mary, who is the Mother of God, she's the Mother of the Church, she's the Mother of each and every one of us. May God bless all of you with great peace and great joy today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.